Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It is Sunday, March 11th. Beautiful, lightly snowing. Basically a flurry up here. Daylight savings morning. Those of you that set your clocks ahead are here. Those of you that didn't, we expect to see shortly. Praise God. Hello to all of our summer members and all of those listening online. We miss you. We prayed for you. I want to talk this morning about enjoying the weather. And on a good, bright, very, very lightly snowing day, it doesn't seem like it's all that much of an issue. On Wednesday, when I put up the sign of what the message was going to be, they were forecasting 12 to 18 inches of snow for us and a lot more elsewhere. We got, since Wednesday night, we've got about an inch and a half. Over in the Connecticut River Valley, they got over a foot. Down in the mountains south of Bennington, they got 2.5 feet. So, there's a whole bunch of people in New England still without power from the storm this week. And they're talking about another storm coming through. So, praise God. So, I want to talk a little bit about enjoying the weather. And actually, what I want to talk about is having patience and trusting God in circumstances that we have no control over. Weather being merely one of them. But there are things that happen in each and every life that we have no control over. You cannot control your circumstances, but you can control how you react to your circumstances. All through the Bible, we have different examples. I think of David, after he had been anointed king, when Saul, who God told him, "I am taking the throne away from you and giving it to somebody that'll listen to me." David, or Saul, chasing after David. And a couple of times, David had Saul right where, had he chose, he could have ended the chase right then. But he refused to injure the anointed king. That if God's going to take him out of power, God can take him out of power. David was not going to be the one to do it. I think about Joseph being sold into slavery and the different things he went through in his life. You know the stories. I think about Daniel, and one of the things that every time I've ever heard anybody talk about Daniel, one of the things I've never heard anyone discuss is the fact that Daniel was kept by the chief of the eunuchs. Anybody want to guess why Daniel was kept by the chief of the eunuchs? I'm fairly certain, as it was the practice in many cultures, that the people that were brought in from the enemy and brought into the presence of the king, or brought into service of the crown, were turned into eunuchs to get rid of some of that drive and some of the determination that might make them a danger. Remember reading in the law how a eunuch could not enter into the congregation of Israel. A eunuch would have to be in the court of the Gentiles, on the outside. Had Daniel gone back when they had rebuilt the temple, if he was still alive, if he'd gone back, he could not enter in to the court of the men. He could not enter into the holy place. Forget the most holy, or of course, only the high priest could go into the most holy place. But he could not go into the holy place because he was damaged, is the way the scripture words it. Yet Daniel is a prophet that we still read today. But what did he do? There were things about his life, things about Joseph's life, things about David's life that they had absolutely no control over. But what they could do is live righteously where they were in their circumstances. Here today in this modern age of America, there are things going on that we have absolutely no control over. But how we react to circumstances is something that we do have control over. So I want to talk about that for a little bit this morning. It's under the heading of enjoy the weather. Keeping in mind that God is the one who is working in each and every one of us. God is the one who's working in our circumstances. God knows exactly where we are. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was writing down the prophecy for the people as they were going into captivity, or as they were in captivity, God said, pray for the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. It says, no matter where you are, pray for the place where you are. Do we do that? Granted, we're not carried away captive. We're not forced to be in northern Vermont, as evidenced by some of the people on listening online who are listening from their winter residence where it's not snowing outside. But do we do that? Do we pray for the place where we are? Do we recognize that God is the one who directs our steps? Wherever He has us there for His plan and His purpose. And as God has placed us here in this time, in this location, because if God wanted you to move, situations would arise and you'd have to move. He's able to do that. He is able to direct our steps. He's able to nudge you and say, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea if you moved? But when we ignore Him and ignore Him and ignore Him, and He says, changes our circumstances so we move anyway? Do we trust that God knows what He's doing and that He's with us no matter what our circumstances are? That God is the one who gives us peace. That God is the one who directs us. That God is the one who is at work in us. No matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 23. Now when He, that's Jesus, got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But He said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and sea obey Him? I always found that passage just interesting. Jesus gets in the boat, says, we're going to the other side. They get into the boat, they push out from the shore, the storm comes. Jesus is asleep. It says the boat was covered in waves. Jesus is asleep. That's what you call being at peace. Somebody mentioned...
really tired.
Or really, really tired. Yeah, there is that too. I think it was Sue mentioned it last week, that while you are... until God is finished with you, you're immortal. You ever think about that? Bible says, all of my days are written in the book before ever one of them were. God knows exactly the number of our days. He has a plan for our life. And while we are doing what God has called us to do, until our time is up, we're immortal. Doesn't mean it'll always be pleasant. Doesn't mean it'll be pain-free. But it means that God is still in control. Found that kind of interesting. So Jesus gets in the boat and the storm comes and it's so bad that the waves are covering the ship. And Jesus is asleep. Until they say, Master. Another passage where it talks about this story. The disciples came to Him and says, Lord, don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? And He rebuked the wind, and He rebuked the waves, and He rebuked the disciples. Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful? When we see our circumstances that are the things going on around us that can be unpleasant, when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, do we trust that God still has us? Yes, we are to pray. Yes, we are to seek the face of the Lord. Yes, we are to seek His direction. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is the circumstances of life sometimes are very, very difficult, very, very painful. Yet God is still with us in the midst of it. Lord, how are you leading me through this? What shall I do? In Psalm 107, beginning with verse 23, you have what is known as the Sailor's Psalm. Anybody who's spent any time on a body of water bigger than a pond has gone through this. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Having spent almost right at 10 years on two different ships, plying the Atlantic and the North Atlantic and the Mediterranean, the Persian Gulf, the Indian Ocean, I've been on great waters. Seen some pretty amazing storms. And I was not serving the Lord when I did that. But I certainly understand what they're talking about. I've been down at the Sea of Galilee and I've seen storms come in so that there's white caps. Heck, we live in Vermont. I've seen white caps in mud puddles. When the wind comes up, when the storms come up, things happen in the natural. Things happen in the weather that we can get a glimpse. But these things also happen in our lives. Storms, turmoil, trouble, things occur. But notice where this psalm, or the passage that we read in the psalm, where it ends. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As God is at work in us and in our circumstances, as God is giving us peace, as God is maybe turning up the heat and turning up the pressure so that we see something in our lives that we need to bring before the altar, that we need to lay down before the Lord, that we need to ask God to work in us and get it out of us, to cleanse us, to make us whole. Lord, just show your grace in this area in our lives. As these things happen in our lives, as this turmoil comes up, do we first give thanks to God? And do we recognize that God is in control? We know about the book of Job, how after he had lost everything, including his family, he's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that wife says, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. Should we receive only good from the hand of the Lord and not pain also, not evil also? Should we go through this life with never having anything to test us? You know, metal that is not tested, or really anything that is not tested, cannot be relied upon. But the things that have been tested, so that you know what the strength is, you know what the capacity is something that you can trust and you can rely on. Anybody's got a ladder in their garage or in their storage shed or in their basement or wherever you store your ladder, it's got a weight limit on the side. Now, you can put more weight on that ladder than it says you ought to. You can physically do that, but that might not be a really good idea. You can also climb on that ladder with it not fully opened and fully set upright. That also might not be a good idea. When we're doing things outside of what has already been tested. So when the weather comes, as we're enjoying the weather, as we're enjoying the storms of life, as we're enjoying the turmoil that comes up, recognize that God is at work in us. God is molding us. God is may be illustrating something in our lives. So how do we react to it? You know, Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, whose names got changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were not the only four young men taken in Jerusalem and kept by the chief of the eunuchs. But they are the only ones that we know about. They weren't the only ones. The rest of them didn't make a decision to stand no matter what. Do we make a decision that no matter what is going on, we are going to stand for the Lord? No matter what is going on, we are going to let God work in us. No matter what is going on, we are going to live a righteous life in the world where we are. So that when the weather comes up, when the storms come up, when the turmoil and problems happen, do we get blown about? Do we lose track? Or have we already determined to seek the face of God? See, if we've already determined to seek the face of God and turmoil comes up, we've already determined that we trust God no matter what, and bad things come up, we say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're Lord. I don't know what's going on, but I know you haven't abandoned me. You haven't deserted me. You haven't walked off and left me. I don't know why these things are going on. Imagine Joseph, all of those years in the prison, after having been sold into slavery by his brothers, after having been falsely accused, after having had people promise the butcher and the baker as he explained their dreams to them, he said, when you get back, told the butler, when you get back to your position, when you're back before the king, remember me, explain what's going on. Oh yeah, I'll take care of it. Yeah, don't forget, don't worry. I got you, man. That real New English translation thing, you know, that modern, what they said. I will certainly remember to bring your case before the king. Well, no, he didn't. Until the king had a dream, till the Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. Oh, wait a minute. There was this guy. Yeah, I was supposed to tell you about him a couple of years ago, but there was this guy. No matter what comes up, do we trust that God is in control? Second Samuel 22, beginning with verse 1. Says, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Stopping right there for just a minute. David was a boy when God anointed him to be, God had Samuel anoint him to be the king. In fact, he was such an unimportant boy that his father didn't even bother to call him when the prophet showed up and says, I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be the king. Didn't even bother to call him. No, I got all these other sons. We'll just pick one of these. No, that's not the one God had in mind. He was so unimportant. And then for years, Saul chased him. Saul's army chased him. It wasn't something that happened overnight. He didn't get anointed to be the king and all of a sudden rise to the throne. He was a boy. And he was 40 years old when he was crowned. 23, 25 years from the time he got anointed to be the king. Maybe even longer than that, until he actually sat on the throne. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, and the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me, in my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. And he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered into his ears. David said, I went through some stuff, but I cried out to God, and God heard me. In the midst of our storms, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our circumstances, do we cry out to the Lord or do we rail against the weather? Let's enjoy the weather. I know everyone's familiar with the Serenity Prayer, or at least thinks they are. And I'll tell you why I say that in a minute. But first off, we go, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Everybody knows that is the Serenity Prayer. How many people know there's actually more to it than that? Jerry does. I do now because I looked it up. I did not know there was more to it than that. That's all the part I'd ever heard. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. To recognize that there are things that I cannot change. Give me peace in the midst of it. To recognize that there are things that I can change. Give me the understanding and the courage to change the things I can. One of the things we can change is how we react to circumstances. Again, going back to, are we enjoying the weather? Are we enjoying trusting that God is doing something even when we don't see it? The things that we have no control of in our lives, do we recognize that the rain falls on the just and the unjust? Good and bad things happen in everybody's life, whether they are serving the Lord or not. Peter said, don't consider it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange things happened, knowing that these same events, same tribulations occur in your brethren which are in the world, those who are not believers. So what he said is, everybody goes through things. So going through things is not an indication of who we are, of what's in our heart or anything. Going through things is just something that happens. Everybody dies. Okay? Moses, Enoch walked with God and was no more because God took him. Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. Moses, even though nobody saw it, Moses died because the Bible says God buried him. So Moses died. So except for those two, except for Enoch and Elijah, everybody that's breathed breath on this earth at some time will come to the end of that breath on this earth unless we get taken out of here first. So death happens to us all. Death is something that's common to everyone. There are things that we go through that are common to everybody. Everybody goes through difficulties. Everybody goes through some sort of pain. Everybody has personal conflicts. Unless you're a hermit on a desert island and there's nobody else around, you're going to have interpersonal conflicts at one point or another. Things are going to happen. What do we do in the midst of it? Do we rail against the circumstances or do we turn to God? Let's continue on in the Serenity Prayer, part that I didn't know that was there. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as a pathway to peace. Taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is and not as I would have it. Recognizing the things that are. Recognizing the things that we don't have the ability to change. And not become so overwhelmed by things that we cannot change that we allow it to impact how we deal with it, that we allow it to impact our attitude, that we allow it to impact our faith, that we allow it to tear down our attitude, that we allow it to build up so that it gets in the way of relating with other people. Going on, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Now that's a prayer. That is, when you get the whole thing, that is so much more impactful than grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, period. When we get on into living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Again, I said, every person goes through things. Every person goes through difficulties in this life. Taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Father, we do thank You that no matter what is going on, You are still God over all. No matter what our circumstances are, You have not left us. You have not deserted us. You have not ignored us. That in each and every thing, You are right there with us. That all of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were. And that as You work in us to teach us of Your ways, if You work in us to draw us by Your Spirit, as You work in us to show Your glory to the people around us, that You get glorified and that people see that You are God in heaven who knows, who believe, who answers, who attends to the needs of Your people. That You are God over all who is interested in forever. And that the difficulties of this present life, the problems that we face, are not to be compared to the glory that awaits us. As this last prayer was, that we might be reasonably happy in this world, in this life, and supremely happy with You in the next. Father, as our circumstances come on, as we encounter those things that we cannot change, help us, Father, to have the grace. Help us, Lord, to have the faith. Help us, Father, to have the strength to show Your love in the midst of the turmoil. Lord, help us, Father, to have the humility to lay down those areas of our lives that still need Your touch, still need You to change us, still need You to mold us. Father, that we be vessels fit for the Master's use, as a clump of clay being formed into the potter, however the potter chooses. That our faith be purified as silver and gold is purified. Father, that You be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we give You the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.